Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Tom Murray continues our series of lessons today on angels. In today's lesson, he talks about fallen angels called the Gibelim. Keep listening.
Well, I want to welcome you back to our study in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. We're talking about this intermarrying of fallen angelic creatures with mortal women just before the flood, and we were looking at verse 4 of chapter 6. We had talked about the Nephilim, and we had just begun to talk about the Gibborim in Hebrew, and that word is translated as the mighty men or the men of renown in your Bible. Now, this offspring, which are called the Gibborim, was a product of the fallen angels and the cohabitation with the mortal human women who consented. And the offspring are not only called Nephilim, but they're called Gibborim, in that they were very unique. Notice that there is no mention of mighty women in this verse 4 of chapter 6. It says, "And the same were mighty men of old." And it says that they bear unto them daughters of, they went into the daughters of men. It's never daughters going into men. It's men going into daughters, and they bear the children. So it has to be women who bear the children. So it's always a one-way intermingling. And it says, "And the same were the mighty men that were of old, the men of renown." It never mentions any women. Now, it would be strange if the offspring were a product of a normal union. You would expect a normal union, if that's what this is talking about, would be that there would be mighty men and mighty women. But there is only mighty men mentioned in 6:4, because this is a new race of beings that is neither human nor angelic purely. And that's the only way to explain the origin of what is called the Gibborim, is that they were of the origin, or they came from the union of these fallen angelic beings with mortal women. And that's the whole point of verse 4 of chapter 6. Now, it's only by using the angelic interpretation and explanation of chapter 6 that the other areas of the biblical teaching actually make sense. Now, so the explanation that this was fallen angelic creatures who went into mortal women who wickedly consented to that cohabitation is the only adequate explanation for certain statements that are made later, even in your New Testament, in 2 Peter and in the book of Jude, which we're going to look at in just a few moments. Now, it is a peculiar sin that Peter and Jude are going to talk about. It is a peculiar, unique sin that is connected to the flood of Noah's day that we're focusing on, and it is different from the original fall of the angels back in Job 38 when they fell with Lucifer. If this were not a different and a unique particular sin right here, otherwise all the other fallen angels would be permanently confined as well, because what we're going to find out is that every fallen angel who participated in the Genesis 6 co-inhabitation with women to produce these Nephilim or Gibborim were confined at that moment just before the flood. They were confined into the abyss, and they have remained there since the flood and will remain there until the day they are placed in the lake of fire. Now, I'd like to turn your attention to the New Testament. I'd like for you to look at 2 Peter with me, chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. Let me read verse 4 to you. "For if God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, we have the location of these permanently confined demons. Now, the temporarily confined demons, I mentioned to you in an earlier broadcast, are found in the abyss. That's where the demons at the, when Jesus exercised the legion of demons out of the demoniac of the Gadarenes, they ask him, please don't send us to the abyss. Now, that is a place of temporary confinement. But the permanently confined demons are elsewhere in confinement. Now, where Peter says that he cast them down to hell in verse 4 of 2 Peter 2 is an interesting word, the word hell. When Peter wrote what is translated as hell in your Bible, he actually used a Greek word that is the Greek word Tartarus, like tartar on your teeth. T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S, Tartarus. Now, Tartarus is a part or a section of Sheol in the center of the earth, or in the Greek it's called Hades, the place of the dead. And it's in Sheol or Hades where the permanently confined demons are located in a special section known as Tartarus. Now, both the abyss, which is a temporary place of confinement, and Tartarus, which is a place of permanent confinement, are in Sheol and they are in Hades. Sheol is the Hebrew word for this place, and Hades is the Greek word for the same place. Now, the abyss section of Sheol or Hades is for demons that are being temporarily confined by God, but Tartarus is a section of Sheol or Hades that is for demons who are being permanently confined. Now, that word Tartarus is only used one time in your entire Bible. It is right there in 2 Peter 2:4. And Tartarus is also referred to in that verse 4 of 2 Peter 2 as pits of darkness. And these angels that were involved in the Genesis 6 sin are actually confined to that place of darkness, and they are there until the day of their final judgment and punishment. Now, that final judgment, as I have told you, will be at the great white throne judgment, or the final judgment. Now, what this means is that those particular fallen angels who participated in the Genesis 6 intermarriage between fallen angels and wicked mortal women, it means that at no time from that day until the end of human history will those particular fallen angels or demons ever be released back on the earth. But when the time comes, they are going to go directly from Tartarus, and they will stand before the Lord Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and then by His judgment and orders, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And I want to repeat that there will never be a time when they will ever be free to roam and have any activity until that judgment. They are permanently confined. Now let us move on to the second verse in 2 Peter 2, and that is verse 5, because that verse reveals the timing of their particular confinement. It says that he spared not the angels who sinned, and then he says, but he said he preserved Noah with the seven others, a preacher of righteousness. Now, what does that tell us about time? Well, the events of Genesis 6, 1 to 4 are also connected with the flood. And so the purpose of the flood was to destroy the offspring, these half-angel, half-human products called the Nephilim or the Giborim that were produced by these fallen angels and human women. So if you compare the Peter passage in 2 Peter 2, 4 to 5 with the Genesis 6, 1 to 4 passage, it gives you the exact connection to show that Genesis is not speaking about Sethites intermarrying with Cainites. This was not a human-to-human intermarrying, but to show that fallen angels were intermarrying with human women, producing these half-human, half-fallen angel offspring, the Nephilim and the Giborim. And because of that, God judged not only the human flesh, in that he flooded the earth and destroyed all human flesh, except Noah and his seven family members. So by using Peter, 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5, we come to a confirmation of our conclusion that the Genesis 6, 1 to 4 supports the correct teaching that this was fallen angels intermarrying with mortal wicked women. Well, let's turn in the time that we have left in today's broadcast to what Jude had to say in his little epistle in verses 6 and 7. Jude said, "And angels that kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation, he hath kept in everlasting bonds under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example." We'll have to come back in our next broadcast and see what Jude is telling us that confirms our Genesis 6 passage. See you in that broadcast.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, friend, for listening. I'd like to encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. If you have friends in other cities or countries, they can now hear the radio programs too. Make sure to give them the web address. And if you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us in Memphis at 901-685-3385. Outside of Memphis, you can call toll-free at 1-866-685-3385. And we'll see you tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.